Podcast, Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here for Podcast Rock City, and with me, as always, is Jody Havnot.
Greetings.
And Mr. Andrew Kiss.
We salute you, our half-inflated Dark Lord. Oi!
Wow, okay. So,
you wanted that back. It's not good, Eric.
It's back.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Thank you guys for being here with me this week. I appreciate it. Listen, thank you guys for listening to the last show. We will address it in just a minute, but I want to remind you guys ahead of time, go to podcastrockcity.com and check out the website. All of our old shows are on there, as well as on iTunes and Stitcher and all those other ones and Podomatic. If you want to send us a letter, don't forget it's podcastrockcity1, that's the number one, at gmail.com. Yep. And one of our favorite things to do is called Ask Andrew, and that's where we ask Andrew, the 21-year-old star of this show, basically, you know, questions of, you know, we want to pick the brain of a young person or a young Kiss fan. So you just
very much
say,
there.
Yes. And you can, and you can send, you know, any question you want to podcastrockcity1. That's the number one at gmail.com.
Gstring.com.
Yes. All right. So, so last week we did our interview with, Billy W. Wilson, and, this, nothing. Apparently he got rid of the website, the Kiss and Tell Lies or whatever, but we've gotten like, I don't know, 50 emails from people going, it's worse than ever. And we apologize if we didn't make it worse. Come on.
Hey, all we were trying to do was help, bro.
All we tried to do was make it more fun to be online, but whatever.
Yeah, just kill the drama.
Yeah.
And I still want to stand behind that. Man, fuck all the stupid Facebook drama on these Kiss groups.
Yeah, they're all Kiss fans. Yeah. You had years of being hated on for being Kiss fans. Unite. Be proud.
Be an army.
This is foolishness. You're grown adults. This is shenanigans. You should knock it off.
Shenanigans.
It's tomfoolery, like, even.
It is. It's, I don't know. It's annoying. You know, just.
So we're gonna move on from that because we're past it anyway.
Yeah, we tried, and I guess we failed. Whatever.
Kiss, Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons this week received an award from ASCAP, basically for being great songwriters, which I thought was pretty cool. Do you guys think that this is, I mean, when they call it, it's like the pop song, you know what I mean? I don't know how they fall into that.
Well, you know, ASCAP has, it's basically to get the artists paid when they're being, you know, when their songs are broadcast, even in jukeboxes and stuff. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, Kiss has a huge catalog of songs they've written. So they're probably looking at it as, I looked at some of the other artists that were on there, and it's like Lennon, McCartney. They have a huge catalog. And all the people that they seem to mention had like a pretty big catalog. So, of course, ASCAP's going to recognize that because they're getting those returns, right?
Right. Mm. And Dave Grohl from Nirvana and Foo Fighters, he inducted, or did the speech. I don't know if it's an induction. It's just he did a speech about, you know, what Kiss meant to him and stuff like that. And it was, you could go online and read it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that he's a Kiss fan, but.
You know, I'm starting to like Dave Grohl a lot more.
Really?
I don't know why.
What I want to know is, like, back in the Nirvana days and all this grunge shit, you never heard Dave Grohl, like, preaching, you know, to us Kiss fans about how great they were.
Well, it's because it's only grunge died in like the late 90s with Kurt Cobain. Like, so it's like just so that's when people can come out as being a Kiss fan.
But Kurt Cobain was a Kiss fan.
No, but I'm saying like you come out as that as grunge dies out and people, because that was the enemy, which is ironic because half that movement was influenced by Kiss, but.
Yeah, but they didn't.
They were so anti
rock star.
Exactly. So it just like it was only a certain time where like since grunge was dying out that people can start saying how like what an influence Kiss was. Like, let's say hypothetically, for the younger generation, like, I guess my age, it's not cool to admit you like nu metal, but since that was popular when you were growing up, then, like, just maybe, like, when that sort of everything that's old becomes cool again, when, like when that, you know what I mean? Like,
when
just
it's, like, old enough to have nostalgia for it.
Exactly. Then it's cool to say, you know, I like those bands, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
like I just find it's kind of phony. If I don't know, it seems like he's always preaching about Kiss now. I've never noticed it until like the last couple of years.
And you know that you know Nirvana did "Do You Love Me" right?
Yeah,
on a record. Oh,
yeah, terribly, in fact.
And then on the back, what is it?
Yeah, like Love Gun is on the back.
Never mind. Right? Yeah. And I also heard that somewhere out there are pictures of, I want to say it's a car owned by the Melvins.
Yeah,
and Kurt sat down next to it and drew all their faces on the door.
Sweet.
Yeah, I heard that story too.
Yeah,
and King Buzzo used to have a Rock and Roll Over sticker on his Les Paul for years.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you never noticed that?
No.
Yeah.
I was too distracted by his hair.
The Melvins were heavy as fuck, dude.
Yeah. I like that he plays rock. An all-steel guitar. That's pretty bizarre.
I don't like that.
Yeah,
I saw that on Rick Rundown, actually.
Yeah, Sun amps are cool, though. That's how he gets that really fuzzy tone.
I used to have a Sun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, long time ago. It was a 410 cabinet, and it had... Sounded good, though. It was solid state, though. It was weird.
What would an all-metal guitar feel like around your neck? You know those acrylic BC Riches?
Yeah.
Man. I put one of those on, and I was just like... it's like twice as heavy as a Les Paul. I couldn't imagine being on stage. And...
Yeah. Plus, man, without the wood is the tone.
Yeah.
You got to have a good wood. That's, you know, mahogany
wood
and a top.
It's the wood that makes it good.
Yeah. Taste the meat, not the heat.
Yeah. and everybody likes a good wood.
This is right.
Anyway, so I wanted to read what Dave Grohl said about basically his first Kiss. So it says, everybody remembers their first Kiss record, and this is how I remember mine.
It's a warm, hot summer. Is this like a letter to Penthouse?
Yes. It says, the Foo Fighters front man said of Kiss, the 1976 LP Destroyer, according to Billboard, with nuclear anticipation, I let the needle drop on that legendary intro to Detroit Rock City, perhaps the greatest introduction to any rock and roll album ever recorded. It filled my speakers and my imagination. 34 minutes later and 27 seconds later, Kiss had filled my soul. I was now a member of the infamous Kiss Army. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds nice. Yeah. I think Morello said it better, though.
Morello,
better speech.
Yeah.
That must be hard for him, like, just, like, to do that introduction, like, to not gush too much, because, like, they're neighbors, so that'd be kind of...
Yeah.
That'd be like, it's like saying how awesome your neighbor is, and it might be... It's probably true, because Paul Stanley is God, but... you know what I mean?
It's
just, like... It
is
kinda
funny.
Like, he drives his kids to school, too, like, so...
Yeah.
So it's weird that they're friends, but like also to admire that person too is just, not saying it's wrong or bad, but I'm just saying it's kind of an odd relationship, you know?
Well, yeah, the funny thing was he talked about the fact that he had seen, Paul apparently mentioned it in an article as well, where he said that him and Dave Grohl see each other every morning for the past 3 years. And I just had this visual, like, when I take my kid to school in the morning, I get in the car lot rider line, you know, and I'm just imagining Dave Grohl and Paul Stanley opening the doors. Good morning. Nice to see you. Did you have a good breakfast? How'd you sleep? Good. Put on your thinking cap. Go to class. That's just like, what? Right. Instead, Paul Stanley would be like, how'd you sleep?
Oh, sorry. Not to get off topic, but I totally forgot. Like, you can edit this out, but... On Saturday, I was at a karaoke bar of all places, and my friend convinced me to sing Detroit Rock City.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you split your pants or anything this time?
I did not, but I did like the like right before like Gene slides on the bass, he lifts the knee up. So I did that right before it went to the breakdown and everything.
Man, it's fun. I was at a karaoke thing last night too, but I decided to shoot pool and drink a beer rather than go up there and embarrass myself. And you have to remember where I'm at, so most of the people are singing country.
Of the people were doing like 8 Mile or
really
stuff like that, or there was some really bad, like Freebird was really terrible. Not to say that I was great because I'm a terrible fucking singer, but I really geneed it out too.
Nice.
My friend did the Paul parts and
okay. So, hey, you guys getting the weird audio? Like I keep hearing this clipping. It's like keeps like, are you not, you guys not hearing that?
Nope.
No, but it's probably on my end because normally that's where the internet cuts out. It's on my end.
It's just like
Canadian internet.
Yeah. So you're not getting that on your end, Joe?
No.
So
has it stopped in a while?
Nah, it's still doing it.
Oh, okay, because that might be my toenails.
What?
I'm clipping them as we're talking.
Oh, that's what Jody's hearing.
Yeah, dude. What the hell?
Well, no, I stopped for a while and it's still clicking, so it's your intermanet.
Interwebs. Okay, well, if it sounds good on your end, Joe, that's all that really matters.
Let's keep going. All right. So when it comes to ASCAP, you know, basically they're the people that shake down clubs and stuff. I put it that way because it's true. You know, and basically go, You play this music, you charge people to get in, they hear the music, you got to pay up, you know, right. And so we could pay the bands. I'm wondering if that really happens. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Maybe on the big bands, but how do they keep records of that? It's just like, do they just walk in and go, you have to give us this amount of money? Who do you play? You know, because I worked at clubs. Jody, you keep a list of what you play?
No. Well, fuck no. It's different every night. It's too much work for me to try to remember.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I basically just play whatever the girls want, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How in the world... Anyway, I guess that's off topic, but... So, they gave the award to Paul and Gene. What do you think? I mean, shouldn't Ace and Peter and Vinny and... Or is it just easier to have Ace, Paul, and Gene there?
Well, Paul and Gene wrote the majority of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And especially all the, like, singles.
No, that's true. But, you know, yeah, you're right. So, when it comes to Dave Grohl, you know, when they talk about, you know, how many bands they influence and how many, you know, rock stars they influence, you know, like we said, you know, we still think Morello did it best. When, mm-hmm. you know, he ran through all of his lists of rock bands, everybody from Lady Gaga to him.
Right.
One of the other cool things is in the article, he also talked about his bedroom, which I think so many of us can relate to. It says, Grohl recalled turning his bedroom into a fucking shrine to Kiss as he became a fan, lining it with posters and action figures. Every morning I would wake up in my tiny bedroom and take a good look at my superheroes before walking to school. They got me through those years and ultimately inspired me to follow the unreasonable dream of becoming a professional rock and roll musician. He liked the band so much, he said that Kiss even made fucking disco look cool. and we agree with that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's cool, you know, it unfortunately and fortunately, it takes a guy like Dave Grohl or Tom Morello to come out and say, or Lady Gaga for that matter, to come mm-hmm. out and say, I love this band, Kiss. I have been a fan. I know what they're, I agree with, you know, the fans. They're wonderful. And it helps legitimize them, you know?
Yeah. I was going to ask you, man, you ever notice, like, a lot of times Kiss will attach themselves to whoever's kind of, like, in vogue at the moment? Like, if you look back on, like, that Gene Simmons Cribs, he has that fucking douche from Limp Bizkit.
What's Fred Durst.
Oh, Fred Durst. I love Fred Durst.
Oh, well, my bad.
It's okay. Really like you're apologizing. It's okay. He's sitting on his couch or something like that.
Well, I'm just saying, it's like, you know, he was kind of hot at that time, so Gene had him stop by, and, you know, just he's always trying to do that. But I guess maybe this one's through Paul, but still, do you think that has anything to do with it? Because Dave Grohl's kind of hot. I don't even understand
why.
Well,
just recently, for Grohl's birthday, didn't he have Paul play?
Yeah,
that was pretty cool too. Yeah. Paul actually sounded pretty good.
He sounded pretty good, and so Paul. So I don't know if that's the same.
I totally agree with you though that it's definitely whoever's in vogue.
Yeah. When Lady Gaga was huge, they pointed out how much like Kiss she was, and it's true.
Right.
You know, it's
well, true. Who isn't like every arena act that you see stole Kiss's show in the '80s. Mm-hmm. I mean, every band, like, even Beyonce has fire and bombs.
Right.
Oh, did you see on the Super Bowl, her guitarist had sparklers coming out of the guitar.
Really?
That's straight up bass.
Right.
And what about
I watched
confetti. How many shows with the confetti now at the end of the show? Even the country artists are doing it, you know?
And... Yeah. I saw some Garth Brooks video, like, in the 90s, and he was saying, man, I got my whole show idea from Kiss, you know?
Right. He even, like, flies.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But he's such a huge Kiss fan, you know. I'll never forget opening up TV Guide and reading a story about how he got started. And he said that he and his dad were in the car, and he was listening to Love Gun, and he was singing it. And he said his dad looked at him and went, boy, you can't sing this stuff. You should try country music. And then, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, the pro wrestler, his brothers said that when he was a kid, he used to put the headphones on and walk around singing Love Gun. And if you could find video of Stone Cold Steve, you know, Steve Austin's got that really, you know, deep voice and raspy, you know. And his brothers were like, we had to take the headphones off him and get him to sing without them on because he thought he sounded like Paul Stanley. And he goes, because he always wore the headphones, he never heard himself. I was like, that's pretty funny.
Still love you.
Yeah. It's, it's
pretty, it's, I love that cough.
But, you know, you'll constantly come across people that are influenced by Kiss and their music. So the fact, you know, that so many people can attach themselves to Kiss, or Kiss can attach them, you know. Even Fred Durst, we know, was a big, huge Kiss fan, you know, in the, like I've said before on the show, in Tongue magazine. And there's a chance that Durst was over there. That's all right around when Tongue was coming out, you know.
Yeah.
And he did an interview, a big interview with Fred, and there was pictures of him dressed like Ace in the magazine as a little boy, you know, which was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. I think you actually told me about that before. Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, look, so many different people in so many different ways are influenced by Kiss. I listened to this radio show on Sirius Satellite Radio. It's a pro wrestling show. It's called Busted Open, shout out. And, I mean, they have wrestlers on there constantly that will mention Kiss. You know, you know, when I walk out on stage, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I do it this way. He goes, can you imagine Kiss not doing it the way they do it? You know what I'm saying? It's always, you know, that, you know, when it comes to stage performance, you know, nobody ever goes, oh, you know, I really want to be like Sinatra.
When I heard those keyboards on Reason to Live, I knew I wanted to be a pro wrestler.
What would your pro wrestler name be, Andrew?
Rasta Nips.
Rasta Nips?
Yeah. I have very hairy nipples.
Did
and
you
I
braid them
shirt.
And put like one of those
no,
beanies
I
on it?
Not yet.
Get your nips all high and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Start listening to Marley.
Yeah,
actually don't like reggae music.
I don't either. Not at all.
Yeah, I
hear a car beeping.
Yeah, that's because Jody lives in the big city.
in the fucking hood. Let me close this window. I was trying not to have to close them.
You don't have to.
I live right next to the fire station, so I always get a nice 2 a.m. wake up call.
Get the firehouse, woo!
I couldn't handle that. I couldn't handle living next to the fire. Here in Georgia, every time a police, like every time the police get called somewhere, the fire truck has to go.
So, really?
Yeah. So
that's like us, but with paramedics. Like the fire truck is always the first responders, and then the paramedics, and then followed by the police.
Pretty interesting.
Of course, it takes forever to get there because in Canada we still have a horse and wagon for all our fire engines.
Ah, that was good. I really appreciate that. So, listen, I thought, you know, that this was a pretty good discussion. Everybody, you know, we've all heard the stories about how many, everybody from Bret Michaels and CeCe DeVille on, you know, that Poison was really vocal back in the, you know, 80s and 90s about how much Kiss influenced them. And, you know, this was a cool discussion to have, and I'm really glad they got that award. I'm not really sure, you know, how it benefits them.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I've never even heard of the ASCAP award until Kiss got it.
Yeah.
Have you?
No.
No.
It's not like, I don't know, it's not that prestigious.
Yeah, well, I mean, Paul McCartney got it, and that's a big deal. I'm sure Gene Simmons is sitting at home going,
yeah, that's...
Paul McCartney's got one of these. Yeah, I don't do that well. Go ahead, Andrew.
Paul McCartney has one. I want one too.
That's it. Yeah.
I always feel subpar, especially when I did that right with the Podfather.
I loved that. Little...
Yeah, he's got Gene down. So one of the things I wanted to do this week, and I forgot to run it by you guys, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Was I want to focus on one country this week where I know you guys are listening, and I want you guys to send in an Ask Andrew question. So this week I want to Ask Andrew question from Australia. So all you guys out there listening in Australia, there's quite a few because my Podomatic thing tells me that you guys are downloading and listening. I want just come up with a question for Andrew.
On a side note, why is everyone from Australia so sexy? Even fair. That accent. Even the dudes, it's getting I'll admit that, but yeah, their accent's not even fair.
Andrew, would you have sex with a guy from Australia as long as he talked Australian to you?
Well, and he was in somewhat shape, yeah. I mean, I don't like to think of myself as too superficial, but, you know, I got to have standards,
like,
too.
He's like, that's maybe not a cock. It's a cock.
That shit's funny. Anyway, okay. So, we're going to get to Ask Andrew in a little bit, but Australia, come through now. Come through for us. So far, everywhere we're getting is the U.S. So,
yeah,
write
on
a letter, Podcast Rock City 1. That's the number one.
@gstring.com.
All right. So one of the things that we were going to talk about this week also was a top five, and I guess it was top five Gene songs. Is that cool with you guys?
Sure.
So I'll go first. Number five for Joe. Well, first of all, Gene songs are, you know, they're up and down for me. It just depends. You know, some of them, you know, are, you're like, whoa, really? And then some, you know, anyway. You guys understand what I'm saying. Number five for me, Gene Sung Songs, Naked City.
Ooh.
Nice.
I love that song, man. Whatever the effect they put on Gene's voice, too, it sounds sweet.
Yeah, I love that one. Have you heard the single mix? There's like a single mix that has a little bit more guitar.
Oh, really?
Just a little bit heavier in the mix. It's pretty good.
Wow, I'm going to have to go and...
That has our boy Bob. Mm-hmm. Writing credit.
Wow, yeah. That's pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, I didn't see that one coming in a top five, but man, I love that one too.
Yeah, man. It's so different too, you know?
It's kind of got that police vibe during the verses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and they probably absolutely did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. All right, Andrew, what you got?
I got Ladies in Waiting.
Good really? Song.
Yeah. Wow. Been on a bit of a Dress to Kill kick lately, so. Oh, fuck, I forgot to add something from the. I mean, yeah, but yeah, Ladies in Waiting is
Ladies in Waiting is a good one.
Yeah.
Have you heard the live version? It's on one of the Kobos from
Stone. Show 76. You what it's all about.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Shout out to Lee Conrad. He first perfected that. I'm only replicating it.
Right on. Love KST, as you guys know.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, every week. They pick on me when I forget to post the shows. Anyway, all right. You're next, Jodai.
You know, I didn't write mine down. I didn't know anything about it, but I think I could just do this off the top of my head. I'm going to go number 5 is going to be God of Thunder.
Yeah. That's my
number 4. It's kind of an obvious one.
Yeah,
that's still a classic.
That's my number 4, so we'll talk about that one together. The the Paul Stanley version, you know, he wrote it.
Obviously.
You know, how
it's still a Gene song.
Oh yeah, but my whole thing is how amazing is Ezrin to go, you know what, we're gonna slow it down.
Right.
We're gonna make Gene sing it. I mean, how smart is that? I'm just not that smart. I would have been sitting in the studio going.
Oh, no, you're smart.
Aw, thanks.
Group hug.
Not really. I would have been sitting in the studio going, great, Paul, let's do it.
Well, it's the same thing with Sad But True. Like, when you're listening to those demos, and Bob Rock suggested to slow it down. So it's the same thing when Paul's demo is too peppy because it's so sped up. Like it's so fast tempoed, so you bring it down in beats, it just becomes a lot more eerie and menacing.
I like the demo of it too, though. I like.
I'm not saying I don't like it, but it's a lot more evil when it's slowed down.
I like when it's like rock and roll. Yeah, it's cool.
Although live too, it goes super fast again.
Yeah,
that was actually sped up in editing. Sorry, Joe.
No, that's okay. So, what's your number 4?
Get me out of this rock and roll hell.
Really?
Yeah. I know it's a cover, but it's still technically able to make the list because it's Gene's song.
Right. I like it.
Yeah.
That's been never leaving my playlist for at least, because as you say, it changes every week or month, so that's really what I'm still into right now.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the thing, you know. It's never, you know.
It's just subjective to whatever you're feeling that day.
Yeah. That's one of the coolest things. Your number 4, Jody.
My number 4 is Only You.
Damn it, that's my number 2.
That is a good song, man.
That's just such a great Gene it vocal is. Delivery.
Yeah, and right along with the bass line.
I love the. Yeah. Like the reverse delay, and they're just like, only you, you know, and those effects like that's really badass.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those oh man, I wish they would play that. They could play that live.
Oh, they could totally play it. They played part of it at the 95 convention here in St. Louis.
Wow.
But I mean, it was mostly just us, you know, us people singing it.
If Kiss 2.0 ever becomes anything like a touring thing, and they probably will never do The Elder in its entirety because it'll make zero money, like just as a grand like tour. But imagine if they did that, like The Elder in its entirety.
It would be sweet, and I'm imagining that if they ever did it, it would be on a cruise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
Kiss Cruise 50. All right, number 3 for me is Unholy.
Didn't give us your number 4, did you?
No, no, no. It was God of Thunder along with you.
Oh, okay.
What was your number 5 then?
Naked City.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Anyway.
Hey.
Unholy. I'm not a big fan of the Revenge album, but that's a kick-ass song, man. That was a triumphant Gene Simmons return to video.
It's so weird to have number Gene opening an album.
Oh yeah. You're right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now I know that I read a long time ago that during the Hot in the Shade tour, they had sent people out into the crowds to ask fans you know, what do you want from Kiss? What do you, you know, people
you want another shrubbery.
Basically, they said they wanted more Gene songs. So when I remember reading that when it was going on, so naturally when Unholy came out, I was like, well, there you go. They gave them what they wanted, you know?
Mm-hmm. Still bizarre to see Gene opening, but that's awesome, though.
That's a great song. And when Bruce Kulick was here doing the clinic at the store I work at, he talked about it. I have to post that, man. He did a whole clinic, you know, talking about Unholy and all those songs and how they were recorded. And I'll have
That's his favorite guitar tone is Revenge.
Oh, man, it's a great tone.
It is, yeah.
It really, it's definitely better than Asylum.
Yeah.
I like Asylum, you know, that really heavy.
Tone-wise, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, number three for Andy.
Oh, I fucking hate it when you call me. All right, this one's going out for the stink. This is Nothing to Lose.
Oh,
you know,
Andrew.
Anal sex.
Yes.
You
know, I knew. Ever whispering. Since... Yeah, Andrew's a dirty birdie.
That expression, dirty bird.
You never see, like, Misery, fool?
No.
Oh, my God, you need to go to Netflix tonight. Watch Misery. It's killer.
Okay.
And then you'll get it. Anyways, what song was it? Oh, Nothing to Lose.
Nothing to Lose.
The song about anal sex. Well, actually, that's pretty much every Kiss song. But yeah, like ever since getting...
Which version do you prefer, though? Like live or the first album?
I prefer the...
Plugged.
I prefer Midnight Special version for nostalgic purposes, because that was the first time I ever heard that song.
Right.
And it was really cool because I got the Kiss... What's the fucking box set?
Kissologies.
Like, I keep getting that and Kiss things confused, but yeah, Kissology.
History, Kissology.
Well, actually, that's how I discovered Kistory Science Theater. I was looking on YouTube and I thought Kissology was called Kistory. So I discovered them completely by accident.
And it worked out for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's so weird
song.
How that happened.
I definitely didn't see anyone picking that one, though.
Well, yeah, it was one of those magic moments, you know, as a Kiss fan. Like, I obviously saw them live through just Symphony, but just seeing that, like, it was really early shit, which is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess it sort of stayed with me.
Yeah. I just remember the first time I ever heard that on the first album. I already, you know, had a live before I had the first album. But I just remember hearing that one on the first album, and it just sounds so pussy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's funny, though, because I thought...
I can't believe they actually kept that version.
Like, everyone has different opinions of, like, when they first heard what they thought Gene was saying, and just the way he said it on the Midnight Special, it sounds like he's just like, I thought about tobacco, I didn't know what to say.
Nice.
All right, number three, Jody.
Number three for me is She.
Oh,
yes,
awesome.
That's
on Midnight Special as well. Yeah, rules, dude.
Yeah, that's a really good song. That's a really good song. There's so many different versions of it, and they're all good.
Yeah, the studio version on Dressed to Kill rules. The fucking Wicked Lester one's interesting.
Wasn't there a double platinum one?
Double platinum, where it like stops and then goes back to the beginning somehow.
Yeah.
I always thought it was weird, like, you know, like on the studio version, at the end it goes to, goes up to E. It goes, They never did that.
Yeah, you're right.
They always just cut to the end part. I don't know what that's called. You know what I'm talking about, though. It's on the end of Let Me Know on the first record.
Yeah, it didn't.
Whatever that riff is called. What do you think they called it? They had to call it something.
Well, didn't they call just the intro to Rock Bottom George?
George, that's what it's called.
Yeah, that's the title.
Yeah, I think Matt Porter.
That's what Gene calls it, though. But
well, yeah, Matt Porter asked. He asked, and Gene answered on Twitter.
Yeah. But to be fair, A should be the one that names it, right? He wrote that part.
Sure. But
still,
you know, if it's
we'll
called George, there's a chance Ace named it.
Right. Like that Eugene and shit. You guys heard that, right?
Yeah.
Heard that? That's some weird stuff.
That's pretty funny. All right, my number two is Dr. Love, calling Dr. Love, sorry.
Which version of that? Double Platinum? Rock and Roll Over?
No, Rock and Roll Over. Rock and Roll Over is, you know.
Yeah. See, I like the Double Platinum version better. I like how it starts with that, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Dr. Love. I love the spoken word.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's one of those Kiss songs for me that I'm just like, kind of over it, but I loved it when I was younger. You know?
Oh yeah, you know, and you'll sing every word. And if you were driving down the road, and it comes on the radio, which of course it doesn't.
Yeah, I would turn it up though.
I would crank it up, even if I was tired of it. I'd be like, hell yeah. Number two, Andrew.
No, it's my number one because Jody and I had Only You.
Oh, okay, yes. All right.
So my number one is Journey of a Thousand Years.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah.
I love that song too, man.
Shout out to our pal Craig Smith because he raved about this song for a few different episodes and I never got it. And then they played it in the Kiss room and something clicked. And I was like, holy shit. This is the greatest fucking song Gene's ever written. And I know that
best
sounds
vocals.
Weird. Yeah, it's just like, it's, I don't know, it's just something about it. It's like,
it's majestic, bro.
It is.
It really is.
Yeah, but yeah, just something that, again, really stuck with me. I think it's a perfect song for Gene. You know what I mean? Like, everything about it's great, and then when they have that call back to the strings doing the Psycho Circus theme in there, just, like, all that stuff going on, it's like a masterpiece.
It really is.
It really is a great song. It really is.
It's kind of overlooked by a lot of fans, too, I think. But, you know, when it came on, so... I could see why.
Can we have honorable mentions on this? Because five isn't enough.
We'll get to it. Jody, are you at number two, Jody?
I'm at number two.
Okay, go ahead.
This was kind of a curveball, but I was actually watching the old Animalized Live Uncensored deal the other night. And, man, the fucking Fits Like a Glove just rocks balls on there.
Dude, yeah. I love that song.
That's a great
song.
I do, too. Everyone kind of makes fun of that song.
Then again, a lot of people make fun of Burn, Bitch, Burn. That's a fucking great song, too.
Yeah, I like that one as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Fits Like a Glove's a fucking rocker.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be cool if they brought it back and dropped, like, I Love It Loud or something and stuck Fits Like a Glove in there.
Yeah, they could do that and get away with it.
It would be heavy, dude.
It would be.
One thing that bugs me with going off topic again, my bad, but... I love it. I don't like the false ending on the studio. That bugs me every time.
Oh, where it comes back in?
Yeah, just end it if you're going to.
I don't know why they do that.
It drives me crazy because I forget every time. And then Leslie's just, what the fuck? And then just, yeah. Anyway, that's my little beef to pick with.
I kind of have one, the same kind of thing. I remember when I was a kid, when the first time I listened to Destroyer, when I first got that. And you know how. And like, Do You Love Me ends, and then it takes a little bit before that crazy shit comes on.
Yeah,
like
rock and roll party.
It scared the dog shit out of me when I was like 10 years old. I wasn't expecting it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I don't like the beginning of Gene's. I don't like that. That demon and angel.
Does that freak you out and shit?
It freaks me out still. I'm in my 40s. I'm like, I just don't like this. It's creepy. But, okay, so my number one, and I don't know, I might get disqualified for this one, but Let Me Go Rock and Roll.
Nice.
Now Paul sings that with him.
Yeah.
I've seen, you know.
Lines here and there, but not the whole thing.
But not the whole thing.
I think that's still, we're going to give that to you, because that's like a totally a Gene song.
And it's a badass song, man.
It's the one that he cannot remember the lyrics to.
Yeah.
You show us everything you got. Like, he always does that.
Yeah.
That's really funny because, I was watching an MTV, special one time way back in the day when they showed videos. And they had, when they were talking about Kiss, was it Exposed coming out? One of them was coming out, and Gene was talking about all the times he messes up. And he goes, you know, it's not always perfect. And then right then they showed five clips in a row of Gene messing up. It was really funny. But Let Me Go Rock and Roll is
that's a great
it's
one.
It's a great song.
Especially on a live, dude.
Yeah.
Once they get into after Paul's rock and roll one time and he starts ripping and it goes on, and then Gene breaks it down with a ding, 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 ding. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the confetti starts coming. It's just fucking awesome.
Yeah. I don't know, sometimes with Gene's isolated bass tone when he's doing that, it sounds like crickets in the background almost. Like, I know it's just like, but you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you get that. It's just like the harmonics in there because it's like an isolated bass tone, but still just here in the background, just crickets.
Right. And then Peter, yeah, man, the whole thing is great.
Also, what's your favorite, like, out of all the live, we'll get to finishing all the tracks.
Okay, we'll do that and we'll come back. Jody, mm-hmm. Number one.
Number one for me is Almost Human.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
It's one of the most, like, definitive Gene songs in my book as far as, like, his character goes.
Right.
It's just fucking rad. And it's a killer riff, and it has a smoking solo by our boy Ace.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how it pans from left to right. If you're a headphone guy like I am,
that's like, I always.
It's just really cool.
That's a great song, but it's a great song. But I always sort of thought of it. No disrespect, but just almost like it seems like God of Thunder's understudy. Like, if God of Thunder can't show up, then I'll almost...
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. I find it more musically interesting than God of Thunder, though. I love that riff.
It's amazing.
It's definitely God of Thunder, you know, Gene's attempt at writing his own, like, signature song.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably a little salty that it didn't take off.
Would have been better without any of the congas or...
See, I like that in there.
I can't stand that. Like, it would have been such a better... If they beefed it up a bit and then just got rid of that, I think that would have been his God of Thunder from then on out.
You might be right. I think Love Gun in general, they could have beefed it up a bit, the whole album. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into that someday.
All right, so... With that being done, top five Gene songs. That was a lot of fun. Thank you, guys. We're getting really close to running out of time, so I want to go ahead and knock out my favorite part of the show, and that is
Ask Jericho.
Ask what? Anyway, this is where we ask the questions that you send in about for Andrew, our young... I told you guys this at the beginning of the show. I don't know why I'm repeating. And Bobby from Oregon. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
This is kind of a touchy subject. So here it is. With all the controversy going on about Paul's voice, if they come back into town, will you go see them?
Absolutely.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah. I'll go too.
I'll go until the last show. I mean, if they come to my town, I'm there.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I'm going to have to change my opinion on, voice, modulate, if he uses pitch correction.
Uh-huh.
I guess I'm a purist in that, but I'd prefer it if he just had, if he ran with, tape versus him actually using pitch correction. I know it's sort of the same thing, but I guess it's just some stigma in my mind. I don't know, but... I prefer it if he did anything, he'd go with tape in the background.
Yeah, ooh. I don't know how I feel about that. I just
for me, dude, I don't even care if he goes out and sounds terrible because...
I just want to see him, too, you know?
Yeah. Part of going is the experience of just being there, and we've all seen Kiss enough times that, you know, you can just have fun hanging out with your buddies in the crowd.
Yeah, it's like a soundtrack.
It's great. That's great.
All right, well, cool. Thank you for the question. And, we're pretty much to the end of the show. Joe, do you got anything to add?
Well, Dad, thanks for listening, everybody. And please, in Australia, hook us up with some cool questions from down under.
Yeah, send it. Yeah, that would be awesome. Andrew?
Hopefully from the Veronicas.
Yeah.
I love those girls.
Andrew, you have anything to add?
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and I hope you have a great week this week.
Yes.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
As we said, Mondays suck, but just have a good Monday, everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. And don't
forget... One last soapbox, dude.
Yeah.
Leave the drama alone on Facebook, yes. Fuckers. Just let it go.
God, please, let it
grow up and just...
Anyway. Please listen to all the shows that we enjoy listening to, including Strange Ways with these two knuckleheads that I'm on the show with right now. And don't forget to, blah, 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 blah. In 3, 2, 1.
Peace.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
Wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some. For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
This is a really big moment.
Hi, I'm Cassius Morris, host of Kiss Podcast Creatures of the Net. Our show content includes current events of the hottest band in the land, exclusive interviews, and the trials and tribulations of being a Kiss fan. You can check out our show at www.creaturesofthenet.com and on Facebook or Twitter. And if you don't know the website name by now,
well, you better f***ing learn it.
We'll see you here.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah.
Oh, f***.
Oh,
f***. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we care.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
It's time for some cheap talk. You're listening to Trick Chat.
Their mommy's all right. Their daddies are all right. They just seem a little weird. They even got their Kiss records out. This is Ken from the Podkiss. Join me, Matt, Andrew, and BJ as we talk about four great guys and three great chords. Cheap Trick. If you're a Kiss fan, chances are you checked them out. So please check out our show, Cheap Talk with Trick Chat, available for now in the Podkiss feed.
Keep cheap tricking.
Someone, somewhere is needing to hear from you. Someone needing to know that you care. Care enough to give the gift of Podkiss. Tell a friend about Podkiss today. Download us on iTunes, friend us on Facebook, and rock your ass out. Podkiss.
That's a picture of Joseph Kiss Sr., who came up with the vision of Kiss in 1753.
Right, Joseph Kiss.
That's, of course, a picture of him without makeup.
That's right, Mr. Joseph Kiss Sr.
All right.